My name is Paola Letesta. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 16th of September 2009 and the time is 6:15 p.m. Please could you tell me your name, your age and where you're from?
My name's Helen Fuller, I'm 27 and I'm from Manchester.
And have you travelled here especially today for your hour on Dublin?
I have, yeah. Came down this morning.
And arriving at the square today and seeing the plinth in action, has that been how you imagined it would be?
It was higher than I thought it was going to be from one side, but then you go around to the other side and it's not so bad. Because when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, that's quite high. But no, I think it'll be okay.
And how are you feeling about going up?
Excited. I haven't been nervous until about 10 minutes ago. But now, because I'm next, I'm like, ooh. But no, it'll be fine, I'm sure. Yeah.
Do you remember how you first heard about
On Twitter, actually. I was just on Twitter at work and I just saw people posting like One Another and I was like, oh, what's that? So I googled it and it came up and I watched it for a bit and then I saw you could apply for it because I didn't know if the applications had shut, and then I saw, oh, you can apply for it. So I filled in my application, sent it off, and about 2 weeks later I got the email. I was like, oh God, I've really got to do it now. I only applied sort of just because, oh, I can apply. And then it was like, oh yeah, I've got to do it. So I started thinking about what to do.
What is it that appealed to you about the project and inspired you to actually go ahead?
I've always been quite a fan of Anthony Gormley's work. I've been to see it another place. I've seen Angel of the North. I remember studying some of his work during art at school. And I just thought it was a really inspiring project. I thought it was so interesting to get to see like almost 2,500 people up there all doing something different. And I just thought it's going to be a place in history. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, really, to stand on top of a plinth in Trafalgar Square. So, just thought I'd go for it.
When you heard that you had an hour, how did you first react?
Disbelief, I think, because I knew there's like thousands of people had applied. And in fact, I actually got an email the same day to say I'd been unsuccessful. And then about 2 hours later, I got one to say, oh, you've got a place. And I was like, which is it? And then I went on and obviously logged in and saw that I had a place. I found out about at the beginning of August, I think it was. So I was like, oh, it's ages away. I don't have to think about it yet. I'll think about it near the time. And then all of a sudden it was like the 3rd of September. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've got to do that. Better think of something to do.
Have you spent a lot of time thinking about what to do?
I did spend quite a lot of time. I've run through various ideas, asked all my friends what to do. They were useless. Couldn't think of anything really that was any good. And then... My dad got diagnosed with prostate cancer in June and he started treatment for that, and I just started to think that maybe I could do something with that, raise awareness of it, raise a bit of money.
So, and what would you be doing exactly to raise awareness?
I'm going to paint a portrait of my lovely dad. So I think that'll make him quite proud. And yeah, so I'm doing it for the prostate cancer charity. Raised about £1,300 so far. Everyone's been very generous. I was running through ideas of what I could do to sort of raise awareness of prostate cancer. I've been speaking to the charity and they were like, oh, take some balloons up and pop them to like signify people being diagnosed, like make paper airplanes out of leaflets. And I was like, but I just wanted to do something that made it a bit more personal to do with my dad. Painting a portrait. Not done art since A-level, so we'll see how that goes. 9 years. I did GCSE A level art. I love it. I do love it. I just don't seem to have the time with working, and I'm always just tired after work and then busy at the weekends and just kind of don't really get much time to do it. But I bought an easel about a year ago, so it'll be the first time it's been used. So I think that's my biggest fear. The easel will fly off, fall down. But it'll be fine.
And what would you do with the portrait afterwards?
I don't know actually, it'll probably get stuck in the loft, but I'm sure my dad will like it. It probably won't be good enough to hang anywhere, because by the time I've set up, I've only got about 50 minutes probably to do it. It's quite a big canvas, so I don't know, we'll see. Depends how good it is.
Can you go and have a photo?
Yes, I have got, I mean, obviously he's my dad, so I know what he looks like really, but yeah, I've got a couple of photos that I'll take up with me to work off. It'll probably end up looking absolutely nothing like him, I would imagine. My portraits tend to. They've never been my strong point. But we'll see.
And as you're doing it, will you be talking about the cause at all, or telling people why you're doing it, or will you just go up there and concentrate?
I'll probably say a little bit at the start. I haven't really decided. I'll just see how I feel when I get up there, how nervous I am, and whether I think I'm going to fall off or not. And I'll, but yeah, I'll probably say a little bit. Yeah.
And does your dad know what you're doing?
He does. Yes, he's very proud. Very proud indeed. He's always proud of me anyway. But yeah, he's got all his friends involved, donating money, and yeah, he does. He's very happy. Yeah.
And is it something that he's come through now?
No, he's having chemotherapy at the moment. He was diagnosed in June, I think it was June. And initially he was told it hadn't spread from the prostate, so we were quite happy with that really. And then he was told his results were wrong, and it had spread, and it spread to just out, like the lymph nodes just outside his stomach. So that wasn't great news, because he was originally going to have hormone therapy and radiotherapy, but because it had spread, he couldn't have the radiotherapy because it's too invasive on the stomach. But his consultant said, oh, there's a clinical trial going on at the moment. We don't generally use chemotherapy for prostate cancer because they're not sure of the benefits, but we're doing a clinical trial. I think there was three different drugs. Couldn't guarantee that he would get the chemotherapy if he applied for it, but he did apply for it because he thought, if I don't try it, I'll never know. And he got given, he's on the chemo branch of the trial. So yeah, he's having that at the moment. He had his first chemo about 5 weeks ago now, and he was very poorly after that. He was hospitalised for about a week with a bad wound. Well, they thought it was an infection, but it turned out it wasn't. He just had a really, really bad reaction, and developed something called neutropenia, which basically means he had no white blood cells left. So the slightest little thing could have been fatal, basically. It was a bit of a worrying time. So they've lowered the dose of his chemo, just so it doesn't happen again. And he had his second lot on Friday, and he's fine. He's here chatting away, isn't he? So yeah, he's been on a 6 mile walk. He drove down today from Manchester, so yeah, he's loads better than he was last time, so fingers crossed. Yeah.
And how are you finding it all together at the moment?
It's hard. It's really difficult because he's my dad. I'm an only one. I've always been a bit of a daddy's girl. I've always been to the football with my dad and watch football with him on TV. So it's really difficult because I think you just expect your parents to always be there, and sort of facing the mortality of your own parents is horrifying, really. And also, it's only men over sort of 65 that get prostate cancer, but they think he's had it for about 11 years, which would have made him 54 when he developed it, which is terrifying, I think. So yeah, it is difficult, but it's a lot more positive than it was a few weeks ago when he was in hospital. So it's just trying to get through it, support me, mum.
What's the impact that you'd like to have by going up and doing this today?
I think it's just to kind of try and raise a little bit of awareness of prostate cancer, because very few people actually really know what the prostate is, where it is, what it does, that anybody even has one. And it's sort of, most men should really be getting, over 50 should be getting themselves tested, because with people living longer, back sort of in the past, something else would have killed you before with prostate cancer did. But with people living longer now, more and more men are going to be developing prostate cancer. And it's just, I think there's 35,000 men are diagnosed every year with it. It's the biggest cancer for men, and I think it's one in four diagnoses of cancer, prostate cancer. So it's just kind of to try and raise a little bit of money for the charity, because male cancers are really, really underfunded. Because it's not, I mean, breast cancer's quite, they get a lot of money, obviously not enough, but prostate cancer's very underfunded. So it was just to try and raise a little bit of money and try and make people see that it's a really big problem.
And would you like people in the square to interact with you at all?
I think as I'm painting, probably not. It's quite a personal thing, really. There are a few ladies coming down from the prostate cancer charity who will be there to answer any questions if anybody wants to talk about it. And obviously my dad's there as well. But no, not particularly. I'll be here busy concentrating. My biggest fear is that I'm going to start talking to myself while I'm painting, because I do if I'm concentrating. And if I've got a mic, and I'll just be gibbering away. Embarrassing for everyone laughing at home.
So you've been in touch with the charity, have you got them involved?
Yeah, they know I'm doing it, and obviously they're really grateful, so they're just coming down to offer a little bit of support. They're supposed to be bringing me a T-shirt, but not if they'll be here on time or not. Don't know.
And we know the impact that you want to have on the people watching. What would you like to take away from the experience?
Like I said before, I just think it's a once in a lifetime sort of chance to do something like this, to be a part of history and to be part of a really major art project. I've always loved art all my life, and I just think it's a really special thing to be able to do. Yeah.
Would you mind telling us a little bit about what you do in your normal day-to-day life?
Yeah, sure. Well, I did a law degree at university, and I did my legal practice course finishing last June, and then the bottom fell out of the legal market. And so I couldn't get a training contract. 4,000 solicitors have been made redundant. And so I'm still working in the legal profession, but I'm working legal costs. I'm a low-cost draftsman, which nobody knows that the job even exists. But basically, I prepare bills for solicitors. A solicitor will do a file, like a personal injury case, and they'll settle the damages. And then they'll send the file over to me, and I go through the file. I work out how long they've spent on it, how many phone calls they've made, and prepare a bill for them to send to the side, and then we'll negotiate on the costs for them as well. So yeah, we do some pretty big bills. Biggest one I've done is about £150,000. Biggest one in our office at the moment is like £1.2 million. So it's really big business, legal costs, but most people just don't even know it exists. Most solicitors don't know it exists, to be honest. I really like it. I actually really enjoy it. I never liked numbers at school at all. Maths was my least favourite subject. I absolutely hated it. But then during the LPC, we had to do like a tax module and an accounting module, and I quite liked the fact there was a right answer. After doing law for so long, it's so long-winded and so much theory. I quite like the fact that if I'm doing a bill, there's a right answer. If it balances, it's right, and I quite like that. And I work for a lovely little company. There was only seven of them last December when I started. There's 17 now. So we're actually managing to grow despite the recession. And it's really nice. It's like working in a big family. And the money's probably better than it would be as a trainee solicitor anyway. So yeah, I do really like it. I think I'll kind of see my future there now. There's a lot of chances for progression, given that it's so small.
And what are your interests outside work?
My interest outside work, I support Man United, which makes a lot of people hate me. Just generally socialising with my friends, really. Go to the cinema quite a lot. I like Japanese horror films and a lot of anime. I try and do a bit of sketching every now and again, but don't really get the time to do that very often. I like to try and travel as much as I can. It was my best friend's wedding in Bath at the weekend, so that was lovely. I went to Edinburgh a couple of weeks before that. And I'm hoping to go travelling next year, hopefully, if I can get enough money together. Went to New York in April as well. So yeah, it's been quite a good year for seeing parts of the world.
So you're hoping to take a bit of time out and like go away for a bit of a trip?
I'm hoping to at the moment. It's not completely finalised because obviously I want to see how my dad is, because I won't be going away if he's not very well. Yeah, I was thinking February next year, just get away and do a bit. I had a bad breakup this year, and I just kind of, it's made me want to get out there and do it for myself and see a bit of the world. So yeah.
So what are the things that are important to you in your life at the moment?
Important to me, my family, obviously my mum and dad. They're incredible. They've always been there for me through everything, supporting me so much. My friends, I've got a lovely bunch of friends. They're wonderful. I love them. We have so much fun together. Just being happy, really. That's my main thing at the moment. It's been pretty tough recently, but getting there, definitely.
And I know you've mentioned that you've got an interest in art and sketching. Have you taken part in any arts events or projects before?
I haven't actually, to be honest, not really. I've never really been aware of sort of any really big ones happening, like in Manchester or anywhere. It's probably just me not listening out for them. But no, it's definitely something I'd like to do in the future, yeah.
What has your experience of this project been
like? Really, really good. Everyone's been so lovely every time I've spoken to people. And yeah, it's just been really, really good. It's really easy to apply, really easy to get on the website. And today's just been lovely. Everyone's been so nice. It's been really, really good. Yeah.
And are you able to describe what the opportunity means to you to be one of the 2,400 people doing it?
I just feel really privileged. I think it's such a wonderful opportunity to sort of take your place in history, really, in such a massive project. I just feel really, really privileged, really lucky.
And finally, if you you remember your profile on the website, you were asked to put three words that describe you. Do you remember what you put and why?
I put curious and witty. What did I put for the other one? I only did it 2 days ago. I don't know. I can't remember what the other one is.
Why did you pick those
two? Curious because I always like to think I'm learning. I'm always on Wikipedia looking things up. People at work laugh at me because everyone's like, what does that mean? I'm like, I'll Wikipedia it. I'm witty because I like to think I'm quite funny. I've been told I'm quite funny. Have my moments anyway. So.
Don't
think so, no. No, I just like to say thank you for giving me the opportunity.